bore fruit. Madhuchita, dropping honey. Translation. The flowing rivers supplied all kinds of tastes, sweet, pungent, sour, etc. And very big trees supplied fruit and honey in abundance. The cows, having eaten sufficient green grass, supplied profuse quantities of milk, curd, clarified butter, and similar other necessities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. If rivers are not polluted and are allowed to flow in their own way, or sometimes allowed to flood the land will become very fertile and able to produce all kinds of vegetables, trees, and plants. The word rasa means taste. Actually, all rasas are tastes within the earth. And as soon as seeds are sown in the ground, various trees sprout up to satisfy our different tastes. For instance, sugarcane provides its juices to satisfy our taste for sweetness. And oranges provide their juices to satisfy our taste for a mixture of the sour and the sweet. Similarly, there are pineapples and other fruits. At the same time, there are chilies to satisfy our taste for pungency. Although the earth's ground is the same, different tastes arise due to different kinds of seeds. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "Bijam nam sarvabhutanam," I am the original seed of all existences. Therefore, all arrangements are there. And as stated in the Isha Upanishad, Purnam Idam, complete arrangements for the production of all the necessities of life are made by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People should therefore learn how to satisfy the Yajna Purusha, Lord Vishnu. Indeed, the living entity's prime business is to satisfy the Lord, because the living entity is part and parcel of the Lord. Thus the whole system is so arranged that the living entity must do his duty as he is constitutionally made. Without doing so, all living entities must suffer. That is the law of nature. The word Taravo Bhuti Varshnana indicates very luxuriant growth, very luxuriantly grown big-bodied trees. The purpose of these trees was to produce honey and varieties of fruit. In other words, the forest also has its purpose in supplying honey, fruits, and flowers. Unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, due to an absence of yajna, there are many big trees in the forests, but they do not supply sufficient fruits and honey. Thus, everything is dependent on the performance of yajna. The best way to perform yajna in this age is to spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshuvanvilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manodhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakaramayam Dadati Svaparantikam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tanamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Vodavani Pracharini Nivishesh Shishanivari Pastrati Desha Tamanayam Uhuk sarada rasan nadya kshira dadhyannago rasan tarava bhuri varshmana tasu yanta madutrita. The flowing rivers supplied all kinds of tastes, sweet, pungent, sour, etc., and very big trees supplied fruit and honey in abundance. The cows, having eaten sufficient green grass, supplied profuse quantities of milk, curd, clarified butter, and similar other necessities. So we're very fortunate today to have the opportunity to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam and the association with pure devotees. This is continuing to continuation of the description of the situation on this earth planet under King Pitu's monarchy, under his rule. He set out to perform 100 horse sacrifices, and by his pious work and performing all these sacrifices perfectly, all the necessities of life were being provided to the citizens. It says here that the rivers are not polluted and allowed to flow in their own way, or sometimes allowed to flood the land will become very fertile and able to produce all kinds of vegetables, trees, and plants. We see that nowadays the government is not promoting yajna. They're promoting industrial enterprises and other ugra karma activities with the supposed purpose of providing necessities for the people. They give lip service to this idea that yes, we're the government in charge, and our business is to take care of all the people in our society, in our country. So we need to have economic development. We need to open factories, and we need to exploit the natural resources of the country in order to provide employment and facilities and the means of enjoyment to the population. This is the basic philosophy of modern Kali Yuga government. Of course, Srila Prabhupada minced no words in describing the foolishness of such idea of how we're going to provide for the necessities of life for everyone through industrial enterprises. Because actually, these industrial enterprises we see are not actually making everyone rich and satisfied. They're allowing one section of the society to exploit the resources for increasing artificially their sense gratification, their accumulation of wealth, but always by their increase, someone else has to suffer. They take natural resources from the earth, and the forests are destroyed, and the people that are dependent upon the forests are without employment. And they have no skills for working in the factory, so they have to come to the city, and on and on. We know so much about the disastrous consequences of this modern economic policy. Our philosophy is very clear that the only solution is to perform yajna. We actually have to worship. We have to understand that the Supreme Lord is there. The Supreme Lord is fully capable of providing all the necessities, and we can live a very happy and peaceful life by performing yajna, by performing sacrifice, for just setting our goal as to be the satisfaction of the Lord somehow or other. And then naturally all the, if we do that, then naturally Krishna will somehow or other supply all necessities for us. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned specifically that our business is, thus the whole system is so arranged that the living entity must do his duty as he is constitutionally made. Without doing so, all living entities must suffer. That is the law of nature. Bhagavad Gita also describes annad bhavanti bhutani parjanyad annasambhava yagyat bhavati parjanyo yagya karma samadbhava. That this is Krishna's explaining to Arjuna that annad bhavanti bhutani, all anna, food stuff, especially grains, this is the support of life. Anad bhavanti bhutani, through anna there is existence, there is life. Without anna there is no existence. And parjanyat anna sambhava. And anna, food stuff, cannot exist without rain. Rains cause foodstuff to appear on the planet, and yagyat bhavati parjanyo. Where does this parjanya? Where does this rain come from? It comes from yagya. And where does yagya come from? Yagya comes from karma. Yagya comes when people do their duty. So by doing your duty, serving the Lord according to your constitutional position, then rains will come plentifully and foodstuff will be produced. And as long as there is sufficient foodstuff, then you can live very nicely and happily. So we can have good food and a happy life through yajna. So, end of story. Now there's something more. That, okay, that's fine. This is good. This is a good way to, Prabhupada's emphasizing this because many, many people are interested. This is what is the goal for many people, just to have sufficient food and a happy life. This is what motivates. This is, many people are disturbed because they're not getting sufficient food and they're not having a happy life. So this is very appealing. But someone who is a little more aware of things, they'll think, okay, that's fine, we can have plenty of food and live a happy life, but what about sin? What if in the course of my collecting all these foodstuffs from the earth, I also commit some sinful activity? So Bhagavad Gita also answers this question. Yagya shishtashana santo mucchante sarvakil vishai bunjite te tudang papam ye pachantyatma karana. So devotees, it's a Prabhupada's translation, devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they offer food and sacrifice to the Lord. Those who prepare those who prepare food, those who cook food for their own sense enjoyment, they're inevitably entrapped in the web of sinful life. You cannot function in this world, especially in this Kali Yuga, but in any age actually, without performing some sort of sinful life. Simply by Prabhupada talks about how simply by walking on the ground, you're stepping on so many insects and other animals and killing them. So the you can't avoid sin, but if you do that, if you gather your foodstuffs and you cook for yajna, if you cook for the pleasure of Krishna, then there's no muchante sarva kilbishai. Now kilbisha is a very it's a stronger word than papa. It's all kinds of sins, any kind of sinful thing you can imagine is included in this kilbisha. So sarva kilbishai means everything inauspicious about your activity of conducting your life is destroyed by offering your food, cooking for the satisfaction of Vishnu. So if someone is concerned about sin, then this answer is there. Yes, okay, you can have your food grains and live a happy life, but you have to also use those food grains to satisfy the Supreme Lord. And if you don't, then you may live your happy life, but you're implicated in sins, and when your sinful, when your pious credits are exhausted, then you'll have to fall down into the lower species of life. So, yajna is essential for living a happy and sin-free life. And this is also, Srila Prabhupada in his purport here, he talks about, he's not talking about only performing yajna. He says, the best way to perform yajna in this age is to spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world. So he's not talking about just performing Sankirtan, but also spreading the Sankirtan movement. So if we go out and we just chant in the public, just perform this yajna in the public, then so many people who don't know anything about spiritual life, they'll hear. And if they, by hearing, then they become purified. And the trees also echo the chanting, and they also become purified. They also participate in the Sankirtan movement. So those who are innocent, they may take up the chanting in association with the devotees. And they also can become happy and peaceful and prosperous by chanting. Just without fully accepting the even understanding who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or without accepting taking initiation from a bona fide spiritual master, or without knowing very much about philosophy, if they simply somehow or other participate in the chanting of the holy name, then their sinful life is finished. They can become liberated. Sankhetam, eighth canto. Sankhetam parihasang va stovam helanam eva va vaikuntanam agrahanam ashesh aga harin vidu. So, even this namavas, this pratibimba namahabas chanting, sankhetam, just to indicate something else. They may hear the holy name on the street and then name their child Krishna and could chanting the name of their son. Parihasyam, they may those Hare Krishnas, they're like this, they're like that. Or they may make some musical sobham, some musical composition. Hari Hari Hari, they may just use the name of the Lord in some of their musical arrangements, or Halam, or they just may chant neglectfully. So, by all these kinds of chanting, Ashesha Agaharin Guru, all the possible sins that they could perform, Ashesha, unlimited sins, are destroyed. But we're in a different situation. We've come to this Krishna consciousness movement, we've taken initiation, we know what is the chanting of the holy name, we know all the rules and regulations. So for us there's no excuse. We have to avoid offenses in the chanting in order to get the real benefit of chanting. But even if we chant offensively, then this verse applies. Even if we chant offensive name, even if we chant in order to be with the purpose of trying to be happy in the material world, in order to have a big position, if our purpose is to have a big position in the Krishna consciousness movement or whatever, even if that's our goal, then the holy name will supply all those things very easily. The holy name is very liberal. This is the next understanding, that we just somehow or other take up the Krishna consciousness movement and we can become we get liberation, we get free from all sins, all necessities of life are provided, we can live a happy life. And even the aparads that we perform, they don't block the results. We still get the, even chanting nam aparad, you still get the benefit of chanting the holy name. It's just there's some delay. There may be some delay, because the aparad will cause some kale nama rupe Krishna avatar nama hoite hoi sarva jagata nistar. So this is these verses, Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, and this verse, these apply to any Kali Yuga. This is the chanting the holy name is applicable to any Kali Yuga, that the whole world can be delivered simply by Sarva Jagata Nistar. Nam Hoite Hoi Sarva Jagata Nistar. In any Kali Yuga, by chanting the holy name, anyone can become delivered. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this special Kali Yuga, he came to give much more than that. He came to give nama, sadhana shreshta. He talks to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Bhakti sadhana shreshta shunite hoilaman prabhu upadesha koila nama sankirtan. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, says, okay, so there's so many processes of bhakti. There's so many processes. There's 64 processes of bhakti that are described in the Shastra. You can perform bhakti in 64 different ways. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Sanatana Goswami, he says, Bhajanera Madhye Shreshta Nava Vida Bhakti Krishna Prema Krishna Jite Dhari Mahashakti. So of all this, of all these 64 items of bhakti, this Navaveda bhakti are the best. They're the Vajanera Madhya Shreshta. They're the best ones. These nine: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam. Methods of bhakti are so potent, so powerful, that they give Krishna prema and Krishna. You can get love of Krishna and Krishna himself. Krishna is so attracted to bhakti that he runs to give himself to the devotee. This bhakti is so attractive to Krishna that he's following along, following the devotee, trying to get that rasa, trying to get that relationship. He's trying to taste that mellow of reciprocation with the devotees. So someone who has Krishna prema, Krishna gives himself very easily. And this is because it is very, very potent. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes on to say, Bhattara madhye sarva shreshta nama sankirtan Niraparad nama hoile paya prema dhama. So of all these nine processes of bhakti, nama sankirtan is the best. If you can perform any of these nine activities, and you can get Krishna. You can get Krishna prema, you can get Krishna. But the easiest process, the best process, the most favorable process is Nam Sankirtan. Because all you have to do is you have to chant the holy name without offense. Some or other avoid offenses. So if you chant the holy name without offenses, then Krishna will appear before you. Vidvangaranga was explaining yesterday that the Keturi festival, Janavamata and Narottam Das Thakur, they organize this Keturi festival after the disappearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they had a big Sankirtan festival in East Bengal. And they had such a wonderful kirtan. All these, all the devotes, some associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were still on the festival, still on the planet, such as Janavamata. And they were participating in the Sankirtan. And by the wonderful Sankirtan performance, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the whole Panchatattva manifested in that Sankirtan festival. So, are we experiencing like that? Is Krishna giving himself to us? Actually, this, in the process of Sankirtan Yajna, sadhana and sadhya are the same. Krishna is non-different from his name. So if we're actually relishing the holy name, then Krishna is present in our tongue. We may not be so advanced that we can see him, but he's present. He's participating in the Sankirtan performance. He's dancing on the tongue. He's dancing on the sound vibration of the holy name. So, it's such a wonderful, simple process. Simply gathering together and chanting the holy name in association with devotees. We should want to spread it to others. We should want to, just like Srila Prabhupada says here, the best way to perform yajna in this age is to spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world. So this is the process given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the best way to perform yajna. Everyone participates, even according to their degree of realization. Everyone can participate very easily chanting the holy name. And by spreading the holy name, then we also get the benefit. By Sankirtan movement is so potent that by giving nam, then we receive nam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu broke open the storehouse of Sankirtan, of the holy name. So by giving this holy name to others, then it increases for us. It's not some mundane thing that becomes diminished. So if we can simply dedicate this one life to spreading the holy name, then all these other goals of living happily, becoming free from sin, becoming liberated, all these things become insignificant goals. We simply enter into Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement here on this planet now, and it goes on eternally. And when the body drops, then we just continue participating in the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We don't have to be concerned about our personal situations. We don't have to independently endeavor for our liberation or independently strive to become free from sins. Just enter into the Sankirtan movement. And why wait until the next life? Go back to Godhead now. This is what Srila Prabhupada is inviting us to do in this verse. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Bhagavatam ki jai. Any questions, comments, additions, corrections?
Hare Krishna Prabhupada. Nice class. You started to say how this Kali Yuga is different.
Yeah.
And I kind of got it, but it wasn't,
I dropped that point. That this, the Sankirtan that's going on in this Kali Yuga is Premanam Sankirtan. This Prema, the holy name is there, and one, by performing holy name in other ages, one gets... One is free from sins, one has become liberated, but one doesn't get prema without, because the devotee is not available. The premi bhakta is not available in the other Kali Yugas. So there's no, we can get. It still is the process for the age, but it doesn't give prema unless you associate. You don't get prema unless you associate with the premi bhakta. So that's the difference. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came and he gave not just holy name, but he gave the holy name strung together with the thread of prema. And he made a garland, and he put the garland on the whole world. So that's so in this special age, that special prema nam is available freely to everyone.
Thank you, Prabhu. Can the practice of Harinama Sankirtan vary from person to person? For example, may one person feel inclined to chant many, many rounds of japa, and another person be inclined, like Ahindra Prabhu, to have a high, loud chanting of the holy names, congregational chanting, another person going Harinamas on the street, or another person promote festivals, or another person recite Srimad Bhagavatam and preach Srimad Bhagavatam, or just preach in general. Can different people find different ways to emphasize the practice of Harinam in their own lives? What do you mean when you say Harinama Sankirtan?
Oh, yes. Chanting and instructing others to chant is also chanting. That's also Nam Sankirtan. Making arrangements. Us managers, we try to rationalize our non-involvement in direct preaching by saying that it's facilitating the preaching and therefore non-different from preaching. But all the activities of preaching the holy name is just as good as chanting the holy name, done in association devotees under the guidance of a spiritual master. Good point. Thank you. Okay.
Prabhu, in the fifth chapter, the 11th canto, after the Krishna Varnam Tushar Krishnam verse, there's a description of how the sages in Satya Yuga worship Kali Yuga because Yuga Dharma is so powerful. People can be elevated to the highest levels of Krishna consciousness. And then there's a whole description of the intense suffering of Kali Yuga, and how people suffer so intensely that they're forced to take shelter of the holy name. So it does seem, you know, that there are some advantages to the industrialization, to the urbanization, because people go, you know, they suffer so intensely as a result of that, and then they're prime candidates for you know, getting the mercy of the holy name and actually being able to cry like a child for his mother more effectively because of the level of intensity. It seems like there's an integration, you know, of the evil conditions or the negative conditions of Kali Yuga and Yuga Dharma and our ability to advance. To some extent is based upon our ability to accommodate the intense suffering that takes place and using that suffering kind of like in a transcendental jujitsu of turning it in our cry to Krishna, and then he is so merciful that he brings us to him. You're a scholar of the holy name, so I'm wondering if you could comment on this aspect of
what you said is fine. It Kali Yuga is so organized that no matter what situation you're in, the suffering is intense. Even one may not be particularly one may be in a very hellish situation according to our perception of what is a hellish situation. But someone who's used to a very sattvic lifestyle, what's hellish to him may be, you know, something that's doesn't appear to be all too, you know, too bad to us. So because we're all conditioned to our particular mode of existence, that Kali Yuga is always disrupting things. And due to because we're conditioned, then that disruption is causing us misery and pain and suffering, because we're having to experience, you know, tumult in our lives. So I think it applies pretty generally to anyone, regardless of their mode of nature that they're in. I would guess.
Prabhupada describes in a 1944 BTG article this. It's in a commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu under Kleshagni. How, you know, this famous example, I heard it when I was like 2 weeks within the movement, of how the fan is unplugged, but the fan is still spinning. So it seems that, you know, the Kali Yuga conditions are such that spinning seems to in some way be in sync with the, you know, even though Prabhupada makes a point, this is not the result of vicious activities, because that stops at the time of the unplugging. But, you know, it kind of coincides with that understanding from the commentaries of 10.14.8 that these are, you know, Krishna takes charge of our sinful activities and uses them to help us make advancement, come to Him. But it does seem that there's a synchronization in between the Kali Yuga conditions and the fan spinning, you know, even though it's unplugged or it's switched off, that takes place in devotees' lives. So for the benefit of intensifying the cry.
Thank you. Some other...
Hare Krishna, thank you. yesterday I asked a question, and I was given an answer. The question was about why the industrialists, the modern industrialists, seem to be getting so much results in terms of production that the demigods are very kindly supplying, in spite of their sins, in spite of their raping the earth, in spite of their draining the soil. And the answer was that, well, yes, but this is short-lived. It's only going to be, it's only been for a couple of hundred years, and it's probably not going to be much longer. But then I was left with my question as to why the Sankirtan Yagya, that even though it may be faulty, the way we maybe not don't chant and perform Sankirtan Yagya as much as we should, but we're doing some. However, we are not able to, in most temples, supply the devotees with homemade milk. We're forced to buy it. So I'm still left wondering why this has to be. There are stories of how the Holy Name was able to chase ghosts away. So I don't see how we have to wait for, extended periods before we get some visible result of what the Holy Name can do. If we're preaching the glories of the Holy Name so enthusiastically, then surely the people we're preaching to are going to want to see an example of that. They're going to want to see how effective the Holy Name is. And if our answer is that, well, we're not quite able to supply our temples with milk, then what do we have to stand on? So I would like you to comment, please.
Yeah, well, sure. We definitely need to have facility for setting a proper example. Srila Prabhupada said that. We have to have an ideal society. We have to, Prabhupada wanted this varnashram communities to be set up where we could demonstrate a proper lifestyle. For sure. It's just, it should be based on the chanting of the Holy Name as part of our preaching. The main emphasis is preaching. And the varnashram is the example that we set that helps in our preaching. That people can see, people that are inquisitive, they see that yes, we have a lifestyle that works. I don't know if that's what you were looking for, but that's my one realization I have.
So is it working or is it not working?
We have a long way to go, I think.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your class. You mentioned during your class about chanting with offenses. And you
about what?
Chanting with offenses, aparad. And you mentioned that this chanting still will have effect, but it will take a longer time. And then later you mentioned about if one chants with offenses, one will not be able to see the Lord. Krishna will not be physically present before me. One will not be able to see Krishna if one chants with offenses. You mentioned both these points in your class, so I want you to please elaborate on the points you made about chanting with offenses. You made a point earlier in your class that if one chants with offenses, it doesn't matter because still the name will have effect. You said something like that. And later on you said something about the chanting will not be effective because you'll not be able to see Krishna.
Yeah, not immediately. My point was that as long as you're chanting offensively, then you're not going to see Krishna. But the benefit, but your chanting will give the result of prema, but later. But you'll get it later.
I'm considering in what you're discussing now, even in your answer, that Srila Prabhupada has mentioned that this is in the second canto of the Bhagavad Gita, that when somebody commits some sinful activity, he can take shelter of the holy name. But if he offends the holy name itself, there's no shelter for that person. So I'm trying to see what you said in connection to this point. Like if we commit offenses to the holy name, there's actually no...
Well, no, yeah, in other words, you can't go to somewhere else and get relief. That's what Prabhupada's point. If you offend a Vaishnava, then you should chant the holy name. If you offend the holy... The point Prabhupada is making, that if you commit some other offense, so you chant the holy name and you can become relieved from that. This is seva aparad. You commit some seva aparad, then you chant the holy name and the seva aparad immediately goes. But if you commit nam aparad, then you can't, there's no relief from that. You have to take shelter of the holy name itself. That's Prabhupada's point.
Hare Krishna. I have this verse here with me from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th chapter, 7th canto, chapter 1, 26, which is related to this Premanama Sankirtana. I believe that is synonymous with favorable devotional service. And this verse here that I have is speaking about approaching Krishna somehow or the other. And the somehow or the other term, this term was a little tough for me to understand. But this verse clearly explains what it is, what somehow or the other is.
I'm sorry.
So
I'm not,
I wanted to share this text.
I'm not able to understand what you're saying.
I have this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 7, chapter 1, 26. It's related to favorable devotional service, which you were talking about. Premanama Sankirtana. I wanted to share that there is a term here used, somehow or the other. And this term, I had a little tough time understanding this before until I came across this verse, which explains that in the verse, Srila Prabhupada, if you like me to read a couple of lines, I'll read it. From this verse, one should not conclude that because Krishna is unaffected by favorable prayers or unfavorable blasphemy, one should therefore blaspheme the Supreme Lord. So I just wanted to share this, because it was in terms with this favorable devotional service that you were talking about. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Oh, here, Mataji here has a question. And then Mataji, then we'll come over there.
So with the holy name, what I see, example in Mayapur, we have a lot of guests and it seems like we chant a lot the holy name. But when I compare 2 years ago, how we was chanting and dancing together, it's today not at all anymore like this. And I believe that actually we don't do fully what Srila Prabhupada wanted from us. That, like example, many devotees, they have their own deities around the temple and they think they can't come to the temple, they have no time to darshanati or come to class. And I mean, I know you are many years ago, 15 years ago, 17 years ago, you was in Mayapur too. I don't know if you can see a difference. Example also, darshanati, it was for many, many years, the kirtan was until 8 o'clock. And so it got changed. We should actually start the class quarter to 8. So the yoga dharma, the most important thing, they cut time off that. So, I mean, the question was like, if we do really the right things, we don't have for all devotees our own milk. Personally, I think we should work on this, but if mainly these ones which can do the decision to do it like this or like that, sorry that I say this today, but I have to say it, the most they don't do it themselves, how you can tell the other devotees to and do the sadhana bhakti nicely. I'm fully convinced it's the most important foundation that we do this sadhana bhakti what Srila Prabhupada gave us from Mangalati, stay in two class, try to just arrange that we can do this, and then the whole day we can go preach and do the other things too. But this I see personally in Mayapur, it's not really there anymore. And I mean, I think we think Srila Prabhupada is maybe not here, Radha Madhav is not here. If we say Radha Madhav is here, Srila Prabhupada is here, everybody would run to the temple. So, anyway, comment.
Unfortunately, I didn't hear everything. I couldn't understand everything you were saying. You want to give me a short... I mean, what the question is?
I missed some of it as well. The acoustics in this room are tough for old men like you and me. But I'm aware of the... concept that she's addressing. In other words, Prabhupada warned us about churchianity, allowing sadhana practices to slide and that to become the norm. And so she's basically making a comment that the level of enthusiasm and also the quantitative participation of the community in the parts of the morning program has gone way down in comparison with what it was, say, maybe when she came to Mayapur 16, 17 years ago. And so she's deeply concerned about that. And she'd like you to join her in that concern, I think. She wants everyone to join her in that concern because it's something that Srila Prabhupada very much emphasized. He put it on the same level of emphasis as, this is my home, as chanting 16 rounds of following the regulative principles to attend the morning program. And not necessarily a local political issue that she's trying to draw you into, but it's a phenomenon that's I'm just trying to save myself. But I think that's those who are in the position of management, they have to worry about such things. Those who are not, then they should take care of themselves. Well, one could counter, you know, taking from the last sentence of the purport that we should did.
But they're not doing anything to spread the Sankirtan movement?
Who? No, I mean, the point is that this is the impetus, you know, that gives one the spiritual strength to spread it. So if there's a decrease in emphasis on that, then the ability to spread it will also decrease. That's the concern.
Yeah, I have a lot of faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement that he knows what he's doing. So I just try to do my duty. Some devotees are only encouraged, at certain points in their lives, they're only encouraged to do a certain amount. And maybe it's not very good for me and you that, you know, maybe we don't feel very happy that they're not around, you know, for our public programs. You know, maybe that's a test for us also. Maybe they're doing what they can do and we can, our business is to do what we can do, and if we don't have enough association, then we have to learn how to make do without or something. I don't know. It's not an easy thing to run a big community of hundreds of people. And naturally you're going to have varieties of people and varieties of, you know, spiritual situations. We have to be tolerant also. If we can, you know, save ourselves first. Have another, while you're thinking of your reply, maybe I can hear from
I was going to ask the question that yajna is born of prescribed duties. So my question is in Kali Yuga, is it even possible to do your prescribed duty? In other words, it seems sometimes I try to do very diligently my prescribed duty, or what I perceive as my prescribed duty, but nobody else around me is doing their prescribed duty. In other words, I may be alone in that endeavor. For example, I'll give an example. For example, at Gitanagari Farm, for example, we want to have simple living and high thinking. Okay, we want to have simple living and high thinking, but we are in the middle of Kali Yuga America. The tax bill on Gitanagari Farm's property every year is $30,000. That's the tax bill on the property. They don't tax the actual temple building. That's the church. But every single, every other square inch of that property is taxed because it's considered farmland. So it's a $30,000 bill that has to come up that we have to pay every year. So that's just an example. So how can you start simple living and high thinking? You want to do it, but you've got to come up with $30,000 every year. Someone's got to come up with it. So the question is, it seems that sometimes the cards are stacked against us so heavy in this Kali Yuga for performing prescribed duty.
Yes, it does seem like that. But that's also Krishna's test. He's testing how sincere we are to actually, he doesn't want us to become complacent either. Krishna's making so many arrangements for our Krishna consciousness. Everything he's arranging perfectly. I can't see it any other way.
Is it a symptom of Kali Yuga that you're not able to describe? You need to be watching.
Yeah. But you can still do your prescribed duty. No, you still have a prescribed duty. Yeah. So that was Krishna changing your prescribed duty. That's That's all I can think of to say for Guruji. Hare Krishna. More? Oh, one more.
Hello. Hare Krishna. We just discussed here now that we get liberated from our sins by chanting the holy name.
Yeah.
Now, doesn't this lead to some kind of a contradiction or confusion where people generally tend to think that, okay, we've committed sins, now let's chant the holy name and get liberated from it. So, isn't it that you still need to pay for your sins? No matter, even if you do chant the holy name after committing your sins, you have to still pay for the sins that you have committed.
You have to what?
You have to pay for the sins that you have committed.
If you commit a sin, and then later on you understand that you have to, that chanting will relieve you from all those sins, you simply chant one name, all those sins are finished. Okay, that's the guarantee of Shastra. However, if you think, oh, I can chant later on, let me commit a sin now, and then I'll chant later, that sin can never be forgiven. Is that clarifying?
Yeah, shut up. You see, what I'm trying to ask here is that a lot of people tend to have this kind of a concept that because you can nullify your sins by chanting the holy name, so it's okay to sin and then give a lot of charities and chant
That's okay also, because then at least they're doing some chanting. Okay? But that's not recommended, that policy is not recommended for initiated devotees. That's for people who don't understand the philosophy, they don't understand Krishna consciousness, that yes, they hear that they can chant and get relief from the sins. Okay, let them, at least that way they're chanting, and then someday, if they keep doing that, they'll realize, they'll have association with someone who will instruct them on the proper path, and they'll develop enough sukriti to be able to understand that instruction. That's the benefit of the holy name. It will give them that intelligence, how to understand that association, you know, the instruction from a devotee in the future. Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya.